All right, so in the first series, we learned how to find God's will for your life. Once you have found God's will for your life, the next step is to follow it. In this lesson, the main key we will be discussing on how to follow God's will for your life is following the desires of your heart, which is this key is found in Psalms 37:3-5. We'll be also going over what this verse means and how to apply it. Once you know God's will for your life, you need to make that your goal in life, so you know what direction to go in life. A goal gives you direction and a destination. God has never made a piece of junk or a failure. Everyone has potential and purpose. Your life should be exciting and it should count for something. Some people might know or have an idea of what God's will for life is, but one of the big factors that prevents them from following God's will for life is their own self-image, self-worth, and physical limitations. Many people view themselves only in their flesh and as the world views them and not how God views them in the spirit. In the flesh, things might not look good. Maybe you don't have financial resources, skills, knowledge, talents, and abilities. You might not have anything to offer the world by the world's standards. People might think to do God's will for life is impossible and they have no idea how to do it or where to start, so they do nothing. The problem here is people are only focusing on themselves and how they can accomplish God's will for their life by themselves without God. They're not focusing on God and how God can work with them and through them to accomplish His will for their life. So if you feel like a nobody who's got nothing to offer, then you're just who God is looking for. You have no experience, no degrees, no skills, no references, then you're the perfect candidate for the job and you're hired in God's book. God doesn't look on the outward appearance, but He looks on the heart. In the spirit, when you're born again, you've got everything you need to succeed and to accomplish God's will for your life. God already knew everything about you and your circumstances, so He already has it planned it out and will provide everything you need. Don't judge or base your self-image or self-worth by the world's standards. Instead, do it by God's standards. As one of God's children, your self-worth and self-image is that of Jesus because you were bought with the blood of Jesus. That means you're priceless and more valuable than you could ever imagine in God's sight. So anything you're lacking, God can make up the difference. God is looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward Him. That means God doesn't need anything from you except two things. All God needs from you is your whole heart commitment and trust to follow Him, and He can provide the rest. Understand in the spirit, you're awesome like Jesus. You've got everything you need to follow God's will for your life, so don't let your own personal physical limitations get in the way. Following God's will for your life wasn't meant for you to try to do it alone by yourself. It's meant for you to do it with God. Remember, it's not about you following God's will for your life on your own and what you can do for God on your own, but it's about what you allow God to do through you when you're working in unison with God. Start looking at yourself in the spirit the way God looks at you. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars. 1 Corinthians 1, 26-29. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. God will give you the desires of your heart. So here's the key verse that we're going to be looking at, Psalms 37:3-5, which is, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So now we'll break down these three verses on what they're really saying. So the first part in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. The most important key of all is trust in the Lord, which is how this verse starts right off the bat. When trying to live by the Spirit and follow God, it all starts with trusting God, otherwise it doesn't work. The Bible is saying to trust God here in verse 3 and also in verse 5, so that's another sign that it's a very big and very important key when it says it twice. So in this verse, when we trust in the Lord and do what is right, or do what it says is good, we have this promise that we will dwell in the land and be fed. The land spoken of here was the Jews' promised land. So for us, we will dwell in the fulfillment of God's promises to us and receive his provision. He will not only occupy the place he has for us, but he will do it with abundance. Verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. The word delight in this verse means to be soft or pliable. This is implying that we are to be sensitive or soft-hearted towards the Lord. Delighting in the Lord is something you have to choose to do on purpose. Being soft-hearted will happen when you seek and follow God in his ways. Being hard-hearted happens when you follow and seek the ways of the world. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. This part needs to be dived into deeper. You can't just read and look at it on the surface. This is a verse where it helps to know the scope and context of the Bible. Clearly, God isn't going to give or grant you the ungodly desires in your heart. The whole point of being a Christian is to be like Jesus. Hence, in Christians, which means little Christs. Since Jesus was a perfect representation of God, and if you're becoming more like Jesus, you'll also become more like God. So if you're becoming more like God in all aspects, that also means you'll start having the same desires as God. God's desires and your desires will start to become one and the same, because you start to become more like God. So when you become more like God in a character sense and allow God to change you, he will also change the desires of your heart, and God will put his desires in your heart. Then you can be led by the desires of your heart when you know for sure those heart desires are coming from God. So what this verse is saying is when you truly trust and delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart, which will be God's godly desires and not your ungodly desires. Commit thy way unto the Lord. The word commit means to roll, and the word way means a road, course of life, or mode of action. So this part is saying to roll or give over your course or way of life over to the Lord. Trust also in him. If you really give your life over to the Lord, you will in turn be trusting in him. If something is important or has value to you and you give it to someone else to handle or take care of for you, you generally trust that other person, otherwise you would have never given them the opportunity to handle or take care of it for you in the first place. So when you give your life over to the Lord, he's in control of your life and not you. So you have to trust him, because you won't have a choice or say in how you live your life if you only follow God's direction and not your own will or anybody else's. You choose to trust God when you choose to truly give your life over to him and put him above everything else in your life. And he shall bring it to pass. Since God knows best and has foreknowledge, he already knows the outcome and how your life will play out best when you live your life according to his will. So the desires God gives you will come to pass, because he will only give you the desires that he knows will come to pass, because he has already planned out and prepared them to come to pass for you when you follow his will for your life. God's desires will line up with his will for your life. So when you get godly desires that are from God, you can follow your heart's desires and you'll be following God's wills for your life. Since we aren't perfect, though, we will also get desires that are not from God. To check and see if your heart desires are from God, ask yourself if you are really delighting in the Lord. Are you putting God first in your life? And are you really trusting God? If the answer is yes to these questions, then the source of the desires are probably coming from God. The answer to these questions will help you verify if the desires are coming from God or not. spirit, heart, and mind. When following the God-given desires of your heart, it starts with the Holy Spirit inside of you. We are led by the Spirit, and our heart is what communicates and understands the language of the Spirit. That's why your heart is where your life flows or comes from physically and spiritually. When you follow the desires of your heart that are God, you will be following God's will for your life, because that's where God speaks to you and leads you from is your spirit, which in turn goes to the heart and then to the mind like a chain of command. Our mind will still have evil programmed in it, so we can't trust our mind when following God's will for our life. The mind knows the ways of man, but it doesn't know the ways of God. Our heart communicates with our spirit, and the spirit knows the ways of God. That's why life flows from our hearts and not our minds. You need to be tuned into your spirit so you can follow your heart and not your mind to be able to follow God's will for your life. A big key to make this work is to really be delighting and trusting the Lord with all of your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith to he, but his heart is not with thee. Give to others. If you're not giving or putting what God put in your heart into other people's hearts, you failed at following God's will for your life. What God gives us is a gift that's meant to be shared and given to others. If we just keep it to ourselves and never use what God gave us, it never benefits us or other people, and it would be just like you never had it at all. We are supposed to give to others and make disciples and not converts. When you give everything you have to others that God has given to you, God will restore what you gave and even more, because you're responsible and fruitful with what he previously gave you. Things you can give are your time, knowledge, talents, finances, and more. When you give, you have room to receive more and to grow more, so God can bless you with even more than before. It's a compounding effect. The more you give, the more you receive. If you don't give to others, then you don't have room to receive more. This was explained to be using the teacup concept. The teacup concept is you start out with a teacup, you pour it out or give what you already have in the teacup. Once you empty the teacup, you then get a bigger teacup filled up next time, and you pour and empty the bigger teacup out again. You keep repeating this process, and the teacup keeps getting bigger every time you repeat the process. This is the opposite of Russian dolls. Russian dolls keep getting smaller as you progress, which is the world system and view on giving. The teacup concept, on the other hand, keep getting bigger as you progress, which is God's system and view on giving. Part of God's will for your life is you to be giving what you already have. So if you're not giving, then you're not following God's will for your life. Giving and following go hand in hand. So if you want to start following God's will for your life, then start giving to others. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with it all shall be measured to you again. Let go of the cares of this life. Trusting and putting God first and above everything else in this world is key to following God's will for your life. The saying, let go and let God, rings true to this. A technique you can use is to quiet or see past the idols in your life and let go of the cares of this life, is to completely quiet yourself and get away from all these distractions and be by yourself. Now just imagine if you had no problems, no fears, and no worries. Money isn't an issue, your friends or family aren't a factor, you didn't have past failures, and you had no restrictions and had the ability to do whatever you want to do. Then what is it you really want to do? What is your dream and desire then? Whatever the answer is to those questions, then verify this desire with the Word of God. If it lines up with the Word of God and is a godly desire, then really start focusing and meditating on this desire then. Really start seeking God and then ask again. Ask yourself again if you are really delighting in the Lord and are you putting God first in your life. If the answer is yes to these questions, and if the desire for this particular dream or vision of yours increases over time, it's a very good chance that it's a desire from God and it's God's will for your life that you can start following. If the desire starts to decrease, then it's probably not God. Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Living by your godly heart's desires. You can either live spiritually or carnally. A good rule of thumb is if you aren't delighting yourself in the Lord and you aren't seeking God with your whole heart, whatever desires you have, just do the opposite of that, and that's probably God. If you're living carnally, there's a lot of truth to that. When you live carnally and aren't seeking God and you just do what you want, you'll be living and following your will for your life and not God's will for your life. But if you delight yourself in the Lord and follow and seek God with all of your heart, then you can do what you want to do because you'll be living spiritually then. There's a difference. When you delight yourself in the Lord and seek God with all of your heart, and God is first in your life, you'll be living by the Spirit, and you will have God's desires in your heart, so you can trust and follow those desires. So you do what you want to do, you will be by default living and following God's will for your life, because you're living by the Spirit like God intended for you. When you aren't delighting yourself in the Lord and you aren't seeking God with your whole heart, you can't live by your heart desires and do what you want to do, because that won't be God, because you haven't allowed God to work in your life yet, so he can put desires in your heart. You're living carnally at the point, so it'll be your ungodly desires still instead of God's godly desires. Your unrenewed mind is running your life and not God at that point. That's why it's important that you renew your mind, so your heart and mind will be in agreement with God's word and not fighting against each other. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do something. Too many people are either lazy and procrastinate or are stuck in fear, so they do nothing. The least you can do if you're not sure if you're following God's will for your life is to at least try and do something and at least take a step of faith on what you really believe is God's will for your life. God can work with you and bless you more when you make a mistake, when you're operating in faith, trying to follow what you believe is his will for your life, compared to you operating in fear and following your own will for your life or doing nothing at all. You can change the destination of a car when it's moving, but you can't change the destination of a car if it's not moving. God can work with you and help guide you when you're at least trying and you give him the opportunity to help you. Don't be afraid to make a mistake. God can work with you and your mistakes because you at least give him something to work with. If you do nothing, then you give God nothing to work with. It's said that Thomas Edison tried and failed 10,000 times before inventing the light bulb. The point is to never give up, because if you never give up, you never fail. But if you do nothing, then you have already failed at following God's will for your life. It's better to take a step of faith and fail than it is to take a step of nothing and succeed. God can help and bless you when you operate in faith. God can't bless or help you when you do nothing. The story of the lepers in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 5 is a good example of at least trying and doing something. The Syrians had besieged the city of Samaria, which caused a great famine for the city of Samaria. There were 4 lepers at the gate entrance to the city of Samaria. These 4 lepers decided they would either die if they stayed put at the city like everyone else, where they were eating cow dung and their children, or aka cannibalism, or they could go visit the enemy, the Syrians, and see if they could get food from their enemy. They were going to die if they stayed put. They might die if they tried to get food from their enemies, but there is a chance that it might work. It was just as good, if not a better option, than staying put when looking at it logically. They really didn't have anything to lose by trying it. The step of faith of lepers took is what it took by doing something instead of nothing is what saved their lives and the lives of all the people in the city of Samaria as well. 2 Kings 7:3-5. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering into the gate, and said to one another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. And they rose up in the twilight to go on to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Take the first step to following God's will for your life. Similar to the previous point of doing something is taking the first step. Understand that following God's will for your life is a process that has steps involved. It might feel like a jump or leap of faith to start with the first step, but as the Nike logo says, just do it. Following God's will is like when a baby first learns to walk. A baby might struggle and fall down multiple times, but the baby keeps getting back up until they get it and they start walking without a problem. The same goes for following God's will in your life. The main thing is to at least try and start doing something. Eventually, you'll get good at it and go through the process of learning and following God's will for your life, and you'll continue to get better and better at it. God's not going to give you step one to step 100 of the whole plan. God will give it to you one step at a time because he wants you to follow him. If God shows you everything up front, you'll either get confident and patient and start doing it on your own without him, or you won't do it at all because you'll think it's too much work and it's impossible. God will give it to you in steps so each step can be achievable and you'll do it with him. Besides, if you can't even take one step, then what's the point in showing you the next 100 steps? Only faith pleases God, so take a step or leap of faith to start and get moving is the only way it'll work. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When you get a word from God, follow it and act on it. A great story from the Bible to illustrate this point is the story of Peter walking on the water. The rest of the disciples stayed in the boat. Peter was the only one who got out of the boat and walked on water. The disciples that stayed in the boat were like the rest of the world. The majority just did what everyone else did and what seemed right or comfortable to them. What they failed to realize at this point was that they had the wrong perspective. There was already water in the boat, and the boat was sinking, so there wasn't much of a difference between being in the boat and out of the boat. Both options could lead to drowning. Just like the story of the lepers before, there wasn't much to lose by trying out the other option. Only one of those options required a step of faith and doing something different from the rest of the crowd. Only one of those options had a word from Jesus, and it was the right thing to do. All you need is a word from God. When you truly have God's desires in your heart, you will get a word from God, and it's your job to act on it to see that godly desire manifest in your life. Part of following God's will for your life is to obey God and do what he tells you. Do exactly what he tells you to do, and do it when he tells you to do it. If you do anything else other than that, you're deviating from following God's will for your life, and you're following your will for your life. So keep it simple and just follow God's lead. You have nothing to lose but everything to gain when you start following God's will for your life now. If you don't see it that way, you have the wrong perspective because you lack truth and knowledge of God's word. When you know the truth, you'll understand and have the right perspective to see that following God's will for your life gains you spiritual, eternal rewards. The only thing you will lose when following God's will for your life is worldly, temporary rewards. God's spiritual, eternal rewards will far outweigh the worldly, temporary rewards. When you understand this, you'll be able to see that you can't afford to not follow God's will for your life. Matthew 14:28-29. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You will have satisfaction when you're following God's will for your life. When you're in the center of God's will for your life, you won't be bored or have constant negative emotions of anxiety, fear, worry, doubt, and many other negative emotions. You will have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You'll have satisfaction. If you're trying to see God and live a holy life and you're doing everything you think is right, but you're still dissatisfied, then you aren't following God's will for your life. God's will for your life is to bless you so you can prosper and you will have a holy satisfaction because of it. When you follow the desires of your heart that are from God, this will give you a true satisfaction. The satisfaction works like a homing device. It helps guide you to your target or destination, which is finding and following God's will for your life. Nobody likes to be dissatisfied. The vast majority of people are looking for satisfaction. The desire to be satisfied is what helps motivate and guide you to finding and following God's will for your life. This satisfaction will help lead you to God's will for your life and will also keep you on track to continue following God's will for your life. Isaiah 58:11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. So here are four main takeaways and the key verse for this teaching. The key verse is Psalms 37:3-5. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. All right, key takeaway number one is look at yourself the way God looks at you, in the spirit and not the flesh. Key number two, trust and delight yourself in the Lord with all your heart. Key number three, find and follow the God-inspired desires of your heart. Ask yourself, if you had no limitations, what are your heart's true godly desires? Key number four, do something and start following God's will for your life now. Take a step or leap of faith.